In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here to bring you the top 10. Take it away, boys.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top 10 Show. I am John Rocha.
I am Matt Nost.
There it is. We're starting out here this week.
We were just talking Schmodown. That's what got us in that wrestling mentality.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I'm in here with the Outlaw right now. Outlaw. A lot of people are saying you're not going to show up for the next match.
I'll be there. You tell them I'm coming. You tell them I'm coming. Hell's coming with me.
What do you got to say to all your fans out there, Outlaw?
Thanks for riding along with me and my posse.
You do a southern affectation now. I didn't know that. I just stopped watching the Schmodown. That's beautiful. Give me some more of that. What else you got? What else you got? What brand of whiskey do you drink?
I always get scared I'll slide into Foghorn Leghorn. That's what I start
I'll tell you.
I'll say that boy. Sarsaparilla. I don't drink no whiskey. It's sarsaparilla with my spurs. The Schmodown. And before you all get too excited, we weren't talking about Matt coming back. A lot of people are mad that you're not in anymore. Or they miss you. Not mad. They miss you.
Yeah, but
I see comments all the time.
As evidenced by... I think I was happier on the way out knowing it was done.
yeah, it's true.
So it just like showed up and was like, whatever. Although I finally got to, you know, I never went in for the histrionics, but I never wanted to upstage what we did and whatnot and by coming in and giving that kind of nonchalance as an attitude.
Yeah.
Just seeing you in some sort of Buddhist-like trance. You know, right before certain matches, I stretch just because, like, I don't want to sit there the whole time and not be at least limber.
Not be loose.
You know, work on my posture, whatnot, try and get out there.
Yeah.
Project.
Sure. Sure.
That's never. We were just talking about random Schmodown, like, oh, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
What's going on over here?
Yeah.
Hey there, ho there.
There were times when you were really dialed in, like against Team Action the second time, you were fully dialed in.
It's just a matter of questions.
I don't mean answers. I mean the anger, like, you know, the frustration or the anger of those guys wanting to beat those guys.
Because
we wanted to bury them back then.
Much as I may like those guys, and I'm sure you – I don't know where their storyline is, so you may or may not like one over the other. Is there still some sort of weird father-son aspect?
No, that's been Christian hated that, so they killed it. Yeah.
It seems weird.
Yeah.
It does. Had it been around for 10 years or something where you have established you are this paternal figure et cetera, but it's still kind of young in its infancy.
That's true.
The first time around, look, they got questions which we felt were easy and they could not handle them. And we lost on getting, what esoteric question do you have for me next or a topic no one knows the answer to or and then theirs was, you know, what color is purple? Like, hold on a second. What color is purple? Guy looks over at Bateman, and Bateman finally, last second, 3, 2, 1, purple.
Yeah.
Good for you, Bateman. I like that that's your character hook. I don't know if he still does it. No idea.
That team corruption's kind of got that vibe to them, too, and they got lucky against us a second time.
Who's on that squad?
That's Mike Kalinowski and Chance Ellison because they spun opponents, spinner's choice and opponent's choice.
I saw Ellis and I talked to him about the O, David.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
And I was like, you are wrong.
Yeah.
Flat out.
What did he say?
I heard these two arguments independent of who said what.
Yeah.
And asked for my opinion. And my opinion is that shit is utterly fucking different and is ridiculous that you ruled that way. And he was so blitzed. Like – It was last weekend. I showed up to the store to do my late spot.
Oh, shit.
He had done his early spot, and he hung out for 4 hours and drank.
Yeah, we were going to – Lily and I, he invited us. We were going
he told me
to
that.
Go.
And
we were so tired.
John was just like, nah, he was never coming. I was like, I'm not surprised. He gets so kind of juiced up for that stuff.
Yeah.
That it's just easier to come down.
It is.
Yeah, but I saw him, and he was pretty three sheets. You know, it's good to see. But he's like, let me tell you about that. Christian just left the room.
Yeah, he did. He walked
Didn't
right
really.
Out.
Just left the room.
He didn't want to make a decision.
And then right after that, a fight broke out. So we got distracted by the fight.
Oh, yeah. What was the fight?
Why? No, I'm talking about at the store.
Oh, really?
It was a former employee and her boyfriend were getting kicked out. And we – dude, I've seen so much worse.
I'm sure.
I saw Ben Foster get tossed out on his ass.
Ben Foster?
Mm-hmm.
Is he as like evil as you see him play certain roles? Is he like kind of got that look to him? The way he carries himself?
It is Ben Foster, right? Hell or High Water.
Yeah,
he's in X3.
Yeah, the –
yeah, yeah. Leave No Trace.
No Safe Place. Oh, no. Leave No Trace, right?
Yeah. No Safe – it's kind of the same thing.
Sure.
You know,
it's in
there. That's his critique of Western society.
Yeah.
That's why he wants to live.
Fair enough.
It's not a bad assessment. Good for you.
Thank you.
I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I was upstairs doing a spot in the belly, and I came down, and two of the door guys had thrown him down. There's front steps, you know, going into the
bar. Oh, yeah.
And they had to throw him. He was apparently liquored up, and they threw him, and he like tumbled down the last two steps.
Fuck.
And just landed out on the pavement, out on the front. And I was like, really? I missed that? I've seen some great fights there. I've seen a lot of fun things
there. Wow. Yeah. Wow. It's a comedy store. Yeah. What the fuck?
I saw a blowjob competition on stage back when.
What?
I saw – yeah. Well, at one point, the inmates ran the asylum at the store.
Oh, my God.
So we were kind of allowed – I was there at the tail end of we were allowed to do whatever we wanted.
What do you mean a blowjob competition?
It was 2:30 in the morning. There was porn star.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I don't really need description. There was more than one male.
Oh, so what was the competition if only one person is delivering the blowjob?
Whoever could last the longest, I believe. a buddy of mine used to have a bit. He's a very well-known comic. Do you know it doesn't matter.
Oh,
but
my God.
But he'd do this
brilliant
thing. He'd ask the audience if they wanted to see the snail race. And his balls are so big he could pull them out and put them around the mic stand. They looked like two big snails. He would have them slowly scoot up the mic stand. I mean, there was like six people in the audience. That's one of many. One of many. Just like, dude, there's so many stories like that. And I missed all the Pantheon stories.
Oh, I'm sure of Robin and all those guys.
I got the last three years of it. Well, this is in the weird, like the store wasn't the place to be. Of all the other comedy clubs were doing better, so it was the one where only the misfits went.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, okay. And they weren't making as much money and as much audience weren't coming out. And
there's
all these legacy guys left over from like the 80s still getting numerous spots a week. So everybody else has whoever the hottest, newest thing is, you know?
Yeah.
And so – you know, a lot of weird shit. I've heard so many good stories.
I'm sure, like, dude.
I can only imagine that one.
What time was your late night spot?
It was supposed to be 1. Show starts at 10.
God damn, dude, 1.
I don't have TV or movie credits.
No, but I mean, respect you staying that long and doing it. Fuck, man.
The show starts at 10. That's not bad. They're still good.
Okay.
But the problem is last week's show was an hour behind.
Oh, shit.
So they were tired. They were fine, but it was kind of like, ha ha. Because they had been there before. I get it.
Yeah. You're laughed out.
It's a late spot, you know, at the store.
Yeah, you're laughed out.
I've done it to, you know, I don't have TV credits or movie credits. Mm-hmm. So I either go on, you know, in one of the first two or one of the last like five.
Right.
And now it's more like I don't open as much anymore. And now it's just late spots.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You know, I have no complaint.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't have.
It's interesting.
Yeah, there's
you're a night owl, though. You're built to be a night owl anyway.
That was one of my favorite things about the store. You go hang out and you're there till 3 in the morning.
Yeah. We were in London. Lily and I left because Catherine's like, oh, he's going to do this till 1 or 2 a.m. You guys should go. Because we were tired. I was so tired, dude. And so when we hit that midnight spot, I looked at her and I was like, babes. And she's like, she talked to Catherine and Catherine said, yeah, no, Matt's going to be up for another hour or two, like doing this. I know what he's like when he gets going. And I was like, okay. And so we took off.
Look, me going to bed early now, even with all the shit I'm doing, is still 2 in the morning.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I'm here trying to get to bed by 10 p.m., and here you are to stand up till 2. Respect that.
Well, tonight, though, I'm going to be up all night. Oof. Well, hopefully not all night.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All right.
But I got to tear a tile out of a shower.
Yeah.
Oof. But it's a stand-up shower, but it's all kind of – so the tile goes floor to ceiling, and basically you're in a phone booth.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's that kind of –
it's that small, but it's in essence those dimensions.
Yeah.
And it's just open on one side, but the tile wraps around the outside. I got to take it all out by the morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I rented the right tool, and hopefully it only takes me like 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
That's my hope.
Okay.
That way then the plumber can handle it, and we're done with plumbing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he has to come back Monday And it's not that big a deal. He's like, I don't mind doing it. Right, just, right. It gets you guys done sooner and you can move on to other things. It's
that's
like,
good.
100%. We got so many other – we got painting to finish. We finished most of the repair on the woodwork.
Yeah.
We just got the ladder in because the loft – they'd cut a section out to put stairs in, but it cut into the lofted area.
Yeah.
So we got these modified library stairs.
Okay.
Attached to – yeah, but it's to a nice, you know, completely manufactured specifically to our measurements by a local guy, a local welder.
Yeah.
Powder-coated black with these kind of extended out stairs.
Nice. They
can slide down a railing and whatnot. Now they have all that extra space to put like a king-size bed up there.
Wow.
Yeah, and have a little bit of room left over.
Yeah.
And this thing slides wherever the hell you want it to in the rest of the space and it works. But it's – okay, we just got to move on to other projects. We got project after project. But once we're done for
– yeah, for a while.
Hopefully like, you know, 10 to 15 years on anything major and just, you know, cosmetic shit from here.
Sit back and just get the money. Respect that.
Yeah, after putting in all this time and effort and money. It's true. Recoup the expense eventually.
Down the road.
Down the road.
well, anyway, this week we are talking about the top 10 – Sting Operation movies, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, and what movie did we use this for a basis of? I forget which movie we used.
We did it for, is it Driven?
The DeLorean? Yes, the John DeLorean story.
Yeah, because I had pitched something else and you were like, what about this? And we've never done this, but the weird thing is we did Undercovers.
Yeah, so I was trying to, it was real close. There were a lot of Undercover.
This was honestly probably the hardest show for me of all time. Because you're like, Sting Operation is very weird.
It is.
I got to see certain things about this. You need to be setting a dude up. There needs to be like
–
there may or may not be some sort of surveillance.
Yes.
There may or may not be like – you need to have aspects of a Sting Operation in here.
Right,
huge coordinated effort. Sometimes it took years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just like a single job.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there, sometimes it's infiltration. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's
– yeah. I tried to pick the ones where the person doesn't have a question about what they're doing, that they're very clear they're going to do the sting operation the whole time and there's not going to be any kind – like they don't get lost in the sting.
Okay. Like, I got one that doesn't fit that but you'll see.
It's your list, right? It's like it's my – I just wanted to keep it that way. But yeah. All right. Anything else we want to say before we jump into this?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, cool. Matt, tell them how the show works.
Once we set a topic, we go our individual ways and create personal top 10 lists. I show back up here, as does John. And I do my bottom three. He does his bottom three. I do my next two. He does his next two. Then we trade one apiece. Once we have revealed our personal top 10 list, we create the shows between the two of us.
Boom.
All right. So I'll just jump right in. 10 for me is The Firm.
Oh, good one.
With
good
Tom Cruise.
One, yeah.
Because it is a sting in essence. Mm-hmm. He has to get the FBI on, you know, on board with what he wants to execute.
Yes.
He has to appease the mob so they don't kill him even if he succeeds.
Yes.
And it is a big sting operation, a coordinated government effort to take out this corrupt law firm. Now, they'd like to do the organized crime on top of that, but they'll take what they can get.
Right.
Which is a big tentacle of this organization.
Yeah.
And the organization rightly goes, you know what? We can still live by severing this limb. We can grow another one.
Oh. Right.
It can. It sucks. Mm-hmm. It hurts. You're going to lose a lot of money and a lot of time, but it keeps us all out of jail, and that's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
So for that, because it is this overall, it's a fictionalized, it's based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, a Grisham?
Grisham book, yeah.
And it's a good movie. It's my 10, so it's not like –
it's a good movie, man.
It is. It's entertaining. It's got a nice thriller aspect to it.
Yeah.
It's got a good suspense and tension that keeps you going.
And some interesting cast members there, Holly Hunter.
Gene Hackman.
Mickey Rourke.
Wilford Brimley.
Is Mickey Rourke? No, Mickey Rourke's not in The Firm. I'm thinking that's the other one with The Rainmaker. But yes, Wilford Brimley's in this thing.
With Matt Damon and Danny DeVito?
Yeah, that one, which is also a Grisham book. Jan Triplehorn is his wife in this, in The Firm, which is the woman from Basic Instinct.
Good pull.
Not Sharon Stone, the other one.
The brunette.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever. It's my 10.
It's good. Yeah. But like he initially thinks he's got this great job, blah, blah, blah. And they get sucked into this.
Yeah. And then very early on figures out like some weird glance at a meeting or something. Oh, yeah. Something's not on the up and up here.
Something's weird.
Yeah, it is.
What's your number 9?
Number 9 is another Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Which is American Made.
Yes. That's my number 10.
Okay. American so this Made. Is where I'm technically what you brought up before in the definition. You always knew what his purpose was.
Right.
He's kind of all over the place.
Yes, he is. But like he's trying to figure it all out as he goes through it.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, this still counts in a way because he's got – because he's being used in this way but then doesn't know that he's being used in this way and then eventually what happens to him. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean he's in essence the story behind one of the many individuals that helped fund the Iran-Contra that went on. There was a big hubbub. Basically, we as a country through a drug slush fund run by the CIA and Black Ops – were pushing drugs around the world in order to get money to buy illegal arms to give to Contras so they could fight the Russians.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So that you couldn't directly tie us to this stupid war for political reasons.
Exactly.
So instead we facilitated the drug trade and turned it into this international behemoth that it is today.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
God bless America.
God bless America. I mean, sadly – controlling that, you know, knowing that you can't control the drug trade, so trying to get your piece of the action kind of makes sense. They're all mobs.
Oh, sure.
Governments, whatever, you know, mobs themselves, everybody's kind of out for themselves.
Yeah.
You have to look at it like that. We just, you know, as a government, have a lot of toys at our disposal.
And when you're the top, you're top of the pile, you do have a lot of toys to mess around with. So that's how it's going to go down. All right. That was your number nine. Good stuff there with I mean, like, my, you know, the wife is way too young for Tom Cruise. But other than
what are you talking about? This dude that's in his 50s trying to pass off that he's 36. I thought, what are you talking about?
I was like, is that his daughter? That has to be his daughter. That cannot be his wife. And then it was like, yep, that's his wife. All right. Yeah, it's a fun film nonetheless. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
Film.
You know, it was funny. I was watching it. I was like, when did he turn into Tig Notaro? Because as I was watching it, he just looked like just a late 40s, whatever, lesbian comedian from Southern California.
I dig it.
But afterwards, I saw that like on Twitter and whatnot. I was like, okay, so it's a groupthink type of moment. A lot of people had the same idea.
Absolutely. All right, which number
eight? My number eight is The Infiltrator with Cranston.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that one, so it didn't make my list. All right.
So in essence, he helps take out – this is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He helps take out the part of the financial wing for Escobar.
Okay.
And cocaine dealers by infiltrating into and then helping get like a certain bank shut down and whatnot. But he goes in and takes out the money side of a lot of that cartel, you know, operation.
Yeah.
And it's – you know what? Look, it's kind of like Trumbo. The movie's good. Mm-hmm. Cranston's great.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's a you know, meat and potatoes of this, but Cranston is so captivating, at least for me.
Yeah.
I like him in everything he does. Damn it, I wish you had, you know, more of a part.
Right.
I always find it interesting, but it kills me like in Godzilla.
Yeah, very weird to have him just disappear or die or whatever.
Had we followed him, I would have loved that movie.
Oh, yeah. I bet the movie would have been a lot better too.
Without a doubt.
Even though I enjoyed it, I think it would have had an even better result with Cranston.
Yeah, anticlimactic as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
And that new one is a swing and a miss.
Oh, yeah. The new one was – it was – how would I say this? It was fun, but it was really like
– it's forgettable.
Yes. Yeah. In the end, it was. Yeah.
It's just a bunch of dull, huge explosions, but it all seems meaningless because I don't give a flying, you know, about the family, this dynamic.
It's true.
What's his name? Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kyle Chandler, yeah.
Just getting his way every single time with no real interference from anybody, whatever. It's just like, oh, we need to go to Tokyo. And they're like, we should probably go to Tokyo. Like, this dude has no power or authority in this room right now. But everybody just agrees.
We should probably go in this tunnel. We should go in this tunnel.
No, keep the shields down. Really? I'm kind of with Bradley Whitford on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should put up some defensive posturing right now.
He was having fun in this film, Bradley.
He really was. It seems like a weird to him. This was a great paycheck, and everybody else was taking it very seriously.
He knew what movie he was in. He's like, they're not going to stop me from hamming it up.
The problem is, though, they tried to make.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't even remotely succeed. So.
Yeah. They tried to make a kind of serious movie, and it really wasn't.
No, I just don't care.
Yeah.
But The Infiltrator.
Good stuff.
It's good. It's just more of basically anytime you can get into Escobar's world.
Yeah.
Hence like, you know, Narcos and still Narcos is going.
Yeah.
I find that show endlessly captivating. Because the nice – you know, well, not the nice thing. Those stories don't end.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really wanted to, you could extend this through the entire time period it's gone through and keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
So infiltrator taps into that with the true crime aspect of the drug trade, which both of us enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So I don't want to spoil too much, but it's a good movie.
Okay.
As usual, Cranston is good.
Yeah.
He's excellent, just like Gary Oldman.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so then my number 10, as I said, was American Made. Yeah. Number 9 is Miss Congeniality.
Okay.
Yeah, love that movie. Always go back to it. So much fun. This is Sandra Bullock before she started going, I need Oscars. So she's so much fun and relaxed in this film. Benjamin Bratt's good in this movie. Obviously, Michael Caine. William Shatner's in this thing. Candice Bergen. So many really fun, good actors in this movie. And the sting operation is that she's going undercover to find out who this bomber is. And, you know, she's playing off as a beauty contestant. And the comedy is all about her, who's very much a tomboy-ish person, having to like become this more feminine type of woman – not woman, but more feminine type of person, and how that comes about. And then the relationships that she makes there. And then – but she never loses the ultimate goal, which is to find out who this bomber is. So for me, that's why I think it's a sting operation. And they're – you know, she's reporting back. They're monitoring her stuff all the time and things of that nature. So to me, it's like good. And it's very funny. It's very sweet. Bullock is radiant in this movie. She really is. Like, it's so much fun to watch her, like, right at the peak of her powers as an actress, you know, and so much fun. But yeah, I enjoy the movie for that.
That was the peak of her powers? You would give it to her, like, Gravity when she's doing something like that?
Oh, well,
the peak of her powers?
Yeah, well, Gravity's – there's not, like, a lot of humor in Gravity, right?
True.
But in this – this is who Bullock naturally is in all her movies, right? This kind of – fun, enjoyable, comedic persona.
Yeah.
That
snort laugh.
Snort, right, and can control a room when she needs to. Gravity is a fantastic performance from her. Absolutely. Can't deny that. But I think this is like who she is, or what I sensed she is, and that's why I enjoy this movie more. I watch this way more than I watch Gravity. That's for sure.
Okay.
Or Blindside, for God's sake.
Nah, Blindside is one of those I saw once and I don't need to see it again.
Never again.
Yeah.
It's a Lifetime movie.
It really is. It's a really excellent Lifetime movie, but
yes.
It's a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's whatever. I mean, I don't want to say because everything – it would be basically denigrating. It's in essence this and this and this and just whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So there's no need to slag off on it. This isn't a – which sports movies don't I like?
There's no need to bash it.
Yeah, they feel fucking patronizing.
All right, then my number 8 is Donnie Brasco.
That's a punt.
Okay, I had a feeling. Once again, this is about, you know, and we'll talk about it later on. All right, what's number 7?
Okay. 7 is The Informant with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah. See, another one I haven't seen. Damn.
It's – look, if you're expecting Oscar,
you're
not going to get it. You're going to get an interesting, weird portrayal of a man who, while doing well, does harm.
Okay.
And how good – I think honestly with time you appreciate even more of Damon's performance because you've seen him do all these different scope of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was in the midst of doing, you know, a lot of – he'd already done Talented Mr. Ripley. He'd already done, you know, a bunch of other stuff.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, but it's a guy that's a whistleblower on his own industry because they're price fixing.
Mm-hmm.
So the – calls in, I think it's the FBI on this one, and then ultimately turns out he's also in the wrong for other things.
Right.
So it's a based on a true story, but I think they kind of get a little bit more liberal with it. Mm-hmm. And I think they might even change the names of the companies type of thing.
Mm, right.
I'm not sure, but it's about agriculture business and something to do with a specific gene or a chemical or something that they use, and they all use it and it's on the seed or on this or something. It's a common thing amongst everybody in the agro business.
Right.
So to see him play this manic kind of individual that goes back and forth and vacillates between the two. And it's also not the atypical crime type of – I don't know. It's a weird, interesting little
– It's a good choice, man. I know everyone says that film is a very interesting choice by Damon to play a part like this and how weird and quirky it is. Because he's not a likable guy necessarily.
No.
So you have to – and he's the protagonist. So yeah.
By definition in that you follow his story, but it doesn't necessarily make him the protagonist.
Right.
Just over whose shoulder you're looking throughout the, you know, the journey kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say see it. That's too straight. There you go.
There you go.
Number
six.
My number six is – I struggled with this one, but I ended up putting it on Black Mass.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I you know, in the end, I couldn't necessarily because of – he doesn't like
– Well, okay. So this was my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
So
– Like who's undercover?
Well, technically he is.
You're right.
Whitey Bulger.
Which you find out later though.
It's the – So this is a sting operation is a deceptive operation to basically not entrap but to catch someone doing something illegal.
Yeah.
So within that technically it's him thumbing his nose at the system for its corruption.
Yeah.
But also there's the corruption in and of itself of the Edgerton's FBI character mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that buddies up with him because they went to high school together and or something like that. He grew up in the same neighborhood but Whitey's a little bit older so he was enamored of him, thought of him as like a you know a cool guy type of thing. And it's the eventually the operation to take him down on top of that from the DA and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, Whitey gets away and gets caught in Santa Monica here.
I know. It's kind
it's of ridiculous. At a parking garage that I'm sure we both parked at probably
yeah, at auditions or something. Yeah.
Yep. I know right when I found out about it, I was like, oh, they caught Whitey Bulger. And I was like, oh, shit. I know exactly where that is. That's crazy. He's been here this whole time.
Right.
So, I mean, he used – their basically surveillance techniques to take out his competition, the mafia crime boss, and that's what Edgerton character was pinning the, you know his rising star on. Look, we took out the mafia, but it's like, yeah. But it ended up like he was giving them all tips that they'd already gotten, whatnot.
Right.
So he wasn't really a rat. He was just saying the same information they already had type of thing. But yeah, for that, I struggle with it because ultimately the trap that gets sprung on him, we don't see.
Yeah.
So we don't see that build up.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have that sting operation aspect.
Yeah.
I agree. So I struggled. I was like, I'm going back and forth on this one.
I get it. I totally get it, man. Yeah, it's a great movie. I was thinking about it the other day too. I don't know if I was talking with you or someone was talking like, oh, does Depp still have it anymore? And I was like, all you have to do – I think it was Snyder and I were debating this. And I said, yeah, all you have to do is watch him in that scene with Julianne Nicholson up in the bedroom when she's claiming to be sick and he comes up and just confronts her. And they have that back and forth. Actually it was Jeff who was saying Julianne Nicholson, why she's got some movie that's coming out soon. And he was saying like, is she really, cause I was trying to get her for the deep cut. And he goes, is she really someone you'd want to get? I was like, yeah, I love her work. Like I think she's great in Boardwalk Empire and the Law and Order Criminal Intent that she was on, that run that she was on. She's done great work throughout. And he was like, well, have you really? And I said, what about Black Mass? And he's like, was she good in that? I was like, oh. That scene where he walks up and confronts her and they have a back and forth. There's no way Depp is as good in that scene without Julianne Nicholson bringing it as well to balance him out. And that you have to give her credit for. She hangs with him one of the most chilling scenes I've ever seen on screen.
I mean, that's the other reason we're going to talk about like my contention with Rami winning for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
That's to me, that's a good movie.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Middle of the road. Mm-hmm. And his performance isn't so amazing to me that it elevates that movie beyond good.
Yeah.
Whereas, so if you're going to win for something like that, it's just like you have to stand out from that movie so hard to me.
Yeah.
A la my example that is Black Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a movie that I absolutely love. I think it's okay.
It's
good.
Yeah.
But he is so stellar in it that when he got a nomination, it was like fully deserved.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else pulling off that. Like, you are the entire reason for me to go back and rewatch that, and I will be mesmerized in your scenes.
Yeah.
Just the amount of menace and terror he can pull through in those eyes with those contacts.
And that fucking accent.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
His head looks all weird. He looks like kind of not quite. You remember Flathead from Dick Tracy?
Yeah.
So that size of head, and you just cut off the afro on the sides.
On the
so he still has this weird kind of triangle-like shape because his noggin looked, you know, fucking Neanderthal-ish. Like he looked like his bone density was more than mine and still, you know, of the same build, so to speak. He just looks like a fucking, you know, people wonder in those instances, like, you think we descended from apes? And be like, look at the silverback he's displaying kind of right now. You know? So you don't see similarities?
It's close.
It's close. It's close. It's a lot of the same posturing. It's a lot of the
It's enough to be in a documentary, that's for sure.
Yeah. You see it all the time.
Yeah. All right. So my number seven is 21 Jump Street.
Okay. It's not on my list.
Okay. I love this movie. It's so much fun.
No, it's awesome. I'm trying to go for a realer.
Yeah. Oh,
type
fair enough.
Of,
fair enough. Yeah.
But 21, I wanted to hate it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great.
Yeah, right?
I wanted to hate it.
You go in, so many of us went in, I think, with our arms folded. Going from a certain generation, like, well, why?
See, I have no reverence for 21 Jump Street.
Okay, okay.
I didn't watch it when it was on. I just know that was the springboard for Depp and whatnot. Yeah. And it was, you know, had I been a couple years older, I'm sure I would have watched it.
Mm.
But at the same time, I was like, man, what is Starsky and Hutch? Like,
right.
Look, it's just going to be a retread of some show that I didn't watch. Like, I had no expectation. And coming out and being like, I can't believe how good fucking Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill were.
Yeah.
I am blown away.
I will put this out there. I know some people get mad at the Magic Mike fans, but I haven't seen him be this good since the 21 Jump Street films. I haven't enjoyed him in just about anything else I've seen him in.
Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Small right. parts. Yeah, but then his accent is not believable. I have a real tough time with his accent in that movie.
Hail Caesar, no. I still need to rewatch that because I feel like I don't understand it. I haven't rewatched it since the theater. I walked out going, I need to see it again because I don't know what the Coens are trying to tell me.
Don't be surprised if you go back and see it again and still don't get it.
Okay.
So many people just don't. I've watched it three times now, and every single time, like,
I love everything they do.
Yeah. It's like Batman vs. Superman. I watch it. I will catch it, and I'll go, what am I missing? What am I missing here? I can't. No matter how many times I watch it, it's not good.
It's everything we should love.
Yeah.
Old-time Hollywood, going back, see it from the studio exec side, all this crazy BS that happens left, right, and center.
Right.
And the World War II Nazi pull-in and Tanning doing the big Fosse, probably choreographed dance number and whatnot. And I don't understand.
It's that weird subplot about the Russians and the whole, like,
Is that what it is? Russians, not Nazis?
Yeah, kidnapping George Clooney and, like, for this whole idea of, like, this political philosophy. You're just like,
he starts to agree just because he's a vacuous star.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a good idea. Clooney was good.
Oh, Clooney's great in the film. Know,
the casting was – it's solid top to bottom. Tilda's walked out of going, I don't understand what I saw.
Yeah, yeah. I saw to me, it felt like a messy movie that they were trying to get away with by putting their name on it.
That is not like them in the slightest.
I know.
Everything else they've
done
is so tedious, so very specifically chosen.
Well, Intolerable Cruelty isn't like that, and neither is Lady Killers. So it's not like they're infallible.
A, it's a remake.
Yeah.
And B, they were going for a certain vibe. They tried to pull it off. They couldn't pull it off. Bringing back this genteel – Louisiana Purchase era type of former Frenchman that now lives in the U.S. for Tom Hanks.
Right.
It could have been good.
It could have been good. Absolutely.
I like the casting a lot. It's really interesting, but it's ultimately you get to the end, you're like, yeah, I don't really care. But I don't – it's just like – it's, you know, not everything can be a gem, and I appreciate that you're out here taking chances.
True. Fair enough. Anyway, 21 Jump Street, they go undercover in the high school to try to uncover who's the one distributing the drugs for everybody and what have you. And the second one is good too, but I like this one better. And what they end up doing in the relationship – sorry. The relationship with Tatum and Jonah Hill is great, and what they experience, what they go through, and even getting the cameos from I think it's Peter DeLuise and Johnny Depp is great at the end as well. So I give a lot of love to that film. My number six is Kindergarten Cop. Keeping in the vein of kind of cop.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I didn't think of that as a sting.
They're trying to catch that dude who's like, the father of the kids. So, or father of one of the kids. And so they're trying to catch him from earlier in the film.
Yeah, from hurting her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not his son because he wants his son to come with him.
Right, right.
And
so he's undercover and it's a sting in a way because he's playing another character as a teacher and they're trying to bring that dad out so they can catch him. And in the end, they do.
I just remember even thinking of a kid, like seeing the mom, like, really, you slept with this scumbag?
Oh, yeah. Like, but LPN,
how did you not know?
I think there's a lot of beautiful women that's
100%
in their young years
and
slept with
too.
A bad boy.
And,
oh, yeah, sure.
And guys, too.
Guys, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Slept with a crazy one. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
We've both done it. Yeah, several times.
It's not it's not misogyny. Both sides.
Exactly.
It goes both ways in different ways.
There's Looney Tunes. Percentage-wise, yeah. I don't know, but it's, you know, I am more than happy to say it's 50-50. But
absolutely.
If you want to credit our side more, that's fine.
Sure.
If you want to credit the other side for that, I don't know. That's fine. We're all nuts.
Yeah, we're all human beings.
Just varying degrees of nuts.
Exactly.
I hadn't thought of it. It's a great choice. Look, Kindergarten Cop is awesome.
It's a fun, fun movie.
It genuinely proved that Arnie could do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. This and Twins were the double two shots.
Yeah, but I think Twins is more an acquired taste, whereas Kindergarten Cop is more universal.
More broad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. And he's charming. He's fun. And the ending is kind of brutal. The fight in the bathroom is pretty brutal and what ends up happening between him and that dude. And, of course, he develops that relationship with Penelope Ann Miller and then – oh, I forget the actress who plays
– oh, his partner?
Yeah.
Gets sick and can't go be a teacher? She's awesome. She's great. Yeah. Everything she does, I can't
she
think of.
She is great. She's a good character actress. I've seen her in a million things. Damn it. I can't remember her name. Oh, well.
That one may come up.
That one, yeah, that's fair. All right.
That one may come up. That's the legitimate – what was the name of the actress that played
– shit.
In Kindergarten Cop? That's something you should know.
Yeah.
Now, the guy that was playing her Eurotrash ex
– that's tough.
Couldn't tell you for the life of me.
Pamela Reed. Damn Pamela it. Reed. Yeah. Yeah. Richard Tyson. Is the guy's name who plays the scumbag.
Really?
Yeah.
Not expecting that.
Mm.
Richard Tyson.
Still working. Has like 8, 10, 15 projects in post-production.
Good for him.
This guy still doing it.
What kind of titles are we talking about? The Dragon Slays at Night.
Redneck.
Volume 3.
Redneck Getaway. Treasure Tales. Demented. Geo Slash. I wonder if that's a Geostorm.
Geostorm. Oh, that's sequel. Awesome. Oh, what's really big and trending right now? Like these huge environmental stories, right? Okay. And then we'll do a slasher film on top of that.
Geo Slash. Hayride 2. Playing with dolls.
Hayride 2? What did the cart drop him off and now they're picking it back up to go back home?
Oh, it's a sequel to Hayride, which came out in 2012.
Exactly, Hayride 2.
He's in both.
What didn't they accomplish in the first Hayride? That we have to – dude, we got to close the book. We got to finish this.
There's a lot of storylines that are left.
The Amish are not happy. Hayride 2.
Hayride. Apparently he was in a filmed production of Richard III.
Oh, okay.
There you go. With David Carradine, I guess, as Richard III.
What is he? I don't know the actual characters in that, unless they're the huge, like, Falstaffian names.
Oh, good. Good point. He was in Black Hawk Down. He was in There's Something About Mary.
There's Something About Mary?
He was Detective Crevoy, one of the detectives.
Blanking.
Yeah.
Battlefield
Earth. Wolves. So those were the salad days, I think.
Battlefield Earth.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The guy works, though. He works a lot.
Yeah, nothing against him. He's good.
He's making his money.
He does what he does.
He was in The Babe. He started in 3 O'Clock High. Remember that film?
No.
Casey Schmasco.
Oh, sure. That's the name everybody remembers.
The fight.
Old Casey Schmasco.
People know Casey Schmasco.
Oh, Schmasco. There he is. Give him a lifetime achievement at the fucking Oscars. This goes to...
He's the pugilist in Young Guns. That's Casey Schmasco.
Show me the picture. The pugilist?
Yeah, the guy that fights, the one of the Young Guns.
I remember Lou Diamond and McDermott.
Yeah.
And who are we talking about here?
And he's the
Kiefer.
He's the one with the beard and the hat, and he gets shot at the end. And he kills... All right.
Show me.
All right, hold on.
Because I'm pulling...
He's also,
you know, the guy that was on Northern Exposure and then Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. That? He's also in Back to the Future. He plays one of the gang dudes. He plays that guy. That's his.
You show me the picture with his face is obscured.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Hold on.
It's this guy.
This guy. Right here? No? No?
Doesn't help.
Oops, sorry.
Pull it up for it. Okay.
This guy.
Okay. Give me something where I would know him from.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
That's still the same. Still.
Kinda.
Yeah, I know him. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Biloxi Blues.
Yeah. Totally know him. 100%.
Yep.
Old Schmasco.
There he is.
Yes.
There he is.
Now I can visualize. But
there you go.
Next to Lou Diamond, next to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. He certainly wasn't the well-known name.
I apologize, sir.
No, I'm sure he's not listening. And in case if you are, thank you for listening. Big fan of your work. There you go. All right. I don't know how we got on that tangent.
To Schmasco?
Yeah.
How did we get to
how
Schmasco?
How did we get to Schmasco?
It's a great. Schmasco. That was the follow up.
Oh, he was in 3 o'clock High. The guy who was in. That's what it is. Hayride 7. All right. What's your number five?
Five is Serpico.
Oh, nice. That's where is it? That's my number three. All right, we can talk about it.
Well, right. We punt.
Oh, we punt?
2 or 3.
I'm sorry, we punt 2 or 3.
And you just announced for the first time ever where something is higher on your list.
Jesus Christ. I'm getting old, man.
All right, so what's your five?
My five is White Heat.
Okay, the Cagney?
Yeah, the Cagney. Because Edmund O'Brien, I think it is, goes undercover. Cody Jarrett is the name of the character that
there's a name that doesn't exist anymore.
I want to make sure I get that right.
Cody Jarrett. He just come off the fucking baling hay in Iowa.
Well, he is a criminal.
Well, I'm just saying Cody Jarrett.
That's his name. Cody Jarrett.
Great name.
Edmund O'Brien, who plays Hank Fallon, a.k.a. Vic Pardo. He goes undercover as a cop to be a part of Cody's gang. He saves him in prison from getting his butt kicked or whatever, or being attacked. That's how he gets faith with the guy.
Okay.
And then eventually, how this all plays out, he's reporting back to the police and everything.
I thought you're trying to not spoil a movie that is 80 something years
old.
That's
true. It's a fair point. But Cody they break out of prison, Cody is like, wants to go back to taking control of his crime and enterprise, but his best friend is kind of doing some things behind his back with his girlfriend, Cody's girlfriend, who is now kind of with this other guy.
Okay.
And Cody's mom's involved in this whole situation. And so when he finds out that it's what's-his-face turning on him, Hank Fallon, he's just starts laughing, like maniacally laughing, and then like kind of runs away. And then at the end, he ends up on that big oil
thing. Yeah, look at me, Ma, whatever.
Yeah.
Top of the world.
Top of the world, Ma.
That's where that comes from. That's all I know of it.
Yeah. Good film, though, and really fun undercover sting type of
Which
film.
Which one is the one with him and was it Edward G. Robinson? The two of them are on the front. There's another crime one. I think there are a lot of crime ones.
I think it's Angels with Dirty Faces.
Okay.
I think. Because there's the one Edward G. Robinson did way back when. Yeah, Angels with Dirty Faces, James Cagney. Humphrey Bogart. Oh, so not.
Okay, so not.
Not Edward G. Robinson. I don't know if they ever did a film together.
Didn't they?
I know they came out with two films around the same time because Public Enemy was the one that came out at the same time.
So I can visualize them like on a poster together.
Little Caesar was the one that came out.
Maybe I'm wrong.
With what's his face? With Edward G. Robinson. Edward G. Robinson. See, this is the stuff they don't ask you in the Schmodown. You know why? Because those kids are fucking 10 years old. And these are the movies that built Hollywood.
All right. So I just Googled the two. Yeah, here we go. Smart Money.
Smart Money. All right.
A black and white drama from 1931. It's an hour and 21 minutes
1931.
Long.
1931. Yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah, Smart Money, Shane.
Exactly. It's two guys that move from silence to talkies.
Yeah. Smart Money, Shane. Yeah.
We're still doing it all these years later.
Oh, you have my money. You're in it smart. All right. So anyway, I love that movie. It's one I still watch on TCM whenever it pops up because there's something about the way it was directed, the way it is. I just love Cagney's like fucking nutty magnetism through the whole movie. And it was kind of the last time he played these kind of roles. And
okay.
So it was good to see him do that because I think it's a 1950s movie. And so it's like the last kind of time he gets to do that before he gets a little like aged
out.
Well,
yeah, that one I just looked up was 1931. So yeah. You're talking about the 50s. That's 20 years later.
That's what I'm saying. He aged out of it.
So, you eventually do. I mean, you had a 2-decade mm-hmm. career at the top.
True. Very true.
That's pretty impressive. Very few people get to be Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. For that long.
Yeah. Spielberg, Scorsese, like.
Yeah.
Not many Meryl Streeps out there, you know?
True. True. Very good point.
That's just, you work that consistently in amazing projects over and over and over again because you're that fucking good.
Yeah.
It's rarefied air.
And you were picking the right projects. Now, yes. Meryl did go through a time in the 90s where she was choosing some bad things.
By what was being offered to her, you know
like
what I mean?
River Wild, She-Devil. These are not good movies.
No, She-Devil's terrible.
I mean, I'm
it's
just saying.
God-awful terrible.
Yeah.
It's like that one and What's the one with Goldie Hawn, Bruce Willis? Death Becomes Her.
Oh, Death Becomes Her, right.
I've never understood why people enjoy that so much.
People love that movie. I think it's an okay movie, but I think it's a movie that isn't that good. You know?
It's one of the first movies that made it to repeat on cable, and I was like, I don't understand why they play this so fucking often.
Right.
And before that, I was either young enough to not care because I liked everything, or they just didn't do it as much. But mid-90s, something like that, like mid to late 90s, this was just on – it was on Comedy Central, then TNT.
You're right. 1992. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So once it hit fucking cable, it was just nonstop, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
She's got a hole in her. Yeah, there's some Hollywood guru they went to, and they are mortal. I don't give a flying fuck.
She Devil's 89, then Postcards from the Edge, which is okay. Defending Your Life is fantastic. That
it is.
That is a really
Albert
good
Brooks,
film.
Albert Brooks, I don't think people go back for it because it's an HBO movie. Wasn't it an HBO
release?
No,
it was released in the theaters.
Was it really?
Yeah,
I thought it was an HBO release. Wow, I saw it on HBO and I just thought it was an HBO movie.
That's the difference in our ages, man. I totally saw it in
theaters.
Well,
but I was old enough to know the difference.
1991.
Yeah, when I saw that. I was going to movies nonstop.
Okay.
So to me, it was just like, no, I thought that was an HBO flick.
Then Death Becomes Her, right? Then House of Spirits, which was terrible. The River Wild, terrible. Bridges of Madison County, okay. Before and After, not that good. Marvin's Room, not that good. Dancing in Lunasa, not that good. One True Thing, not that good. Music of the Heart, not that good. And it isn't until the early 2000s she starts like kind of doing her thing again consistently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she had to work for a while.
Yeah.
Now it's like there seems to be more of like a you know the prestige pick, so maybe she just gets in on that. Like this is just more than likely going to be one of the biggies.
Yeah, yeah.
That type of thing. We got great production. We got great director, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's got all the right pedigree.
Yeah.
And there's X number of those every year, and they get offers out to the biggest. I'm looking up to Defending Your Life because I want to see where it was released. Box office did $16.4 million.
Yep.
Distributed by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And produced by the Geffen Film Company.
I don't know that Brooks has ever done a movie for television.
I thought that was like a special HBO when
they
started getting the higher tier, like every once in a while coming in, but, you know. A year or two later in my head then would have been like And the Band Played On.
Yeah. That was HBO.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, they do it.
Matthew Modine.
Fat Man and
– Fat Man and Little Boy was
Little
that?
Little Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another HBO. That was really good. That wasn't an HBO?
I don't think so, man.
Man, I'm getting a lot of
– I saw that in the theater. Paul Newman and Dwight Schultz. Yeah. I like that movie because it was Paul Newman. My dad was like, we got to go see it. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there's no – yeah, it's a Paramount movie. Yeah, Paramount Pictures.
Man, I'm screwing up a bunch of stuff release stuff right now.
It's all right.
Yeah, dude. Wow, it's box office. It's $3 million.
Yeah, it didn't do that well, man. It's one of those quiet ones.
$2 million with construction, reception. It's distortion of the facts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, maybe it's something that didn't have a life in the theaters and only had a life on somewhere like, you know, at HBO.
Yeah. Maybe. That's certainly possible because it was a small movie. It didn't make a lot of money. But it was a great movie about that situation. And look at Dwight Schultz, Bonnie Bedelia, Laura Dern, John Cusack, Natasha Richardson, John C. McGinley. A lot of people in this thing.
So. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we digress. Where are we at here? Year four?
We just did year five. Yeah, so my four is The Departed.
That's a punt.
Okay.
Yeah. My number four is American Hustle.
Not on my list.
Okay.
I've never
– You just don't like the movie, huh?
I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I like O. Russell. Christian Bale can pretty much do no wrong.
The Irish O. Russell?
Or no, O. period Russell. I would have done a bigoted O. Russell had I – because that's what we all do internationally.
Exactly. phonetically.
Just ridiculous.
Phonetically correct.
Yeah. I mean by letter of the law, I guess the rules are – punctuation doesn't matter, but it really should.
Spirit of the law matters too.
Exactly.
Just as much as the letter of the law.
It's just the punctuation should matter in this instance when you're changing the ethnicity and nationality of an individual.
Yeah.
that kind of makes a difference.
The crazy thing about that whole decision was Kalinowski and Chance weren't mad about it. Like, they weren't like, no, no, give us the point. We earned it. They were more just like, okay, whatever you decide. So the decision was there on the table for Ellis to go like, you know what? Everyone's okay with it. Makes sense. Dan answered first. All right, let's just like cancel them both out and let's go to another question. Such a simple decision. But for Mark Ellis, apparently, it wasn't as simple as people would think. Anyway.
He made the executive decision.
I guess he did. Yeah, but he had to call Sam to do it.
All right. So that was my four.
So American Hustle. Yeah, American Hustle. Really enjoy the movie. Obviously, they go undercover to try to get all these people to turn states and get them in trouble and then eventually do. And, of course, Christian Bale. Fantastic performance. Kind of, in my opinion, kind of beat up by everything going on in his world. Amy Adams is sexy AF in this movie in a way that I haven't seen her be sexy before. Jeremy Renner is good. And when they get found out, him and Elizabeth Rome have that great scene. De Niro is chilling in that little cameo he does.
Yeah, his part is tiny.
Yeah. But all of it. And of course, you know, they do the operation and they end up getting everybody they want to get, except for, of course, Jennifer Lawrence. So, all right. So what's your number three?
My number three is Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
Oh, nice.
Because it is
– shit, that's a good choice.
They're trying to find a criminal within this. It's a huge espionage surveillance. We got to figure out what is up and what is down.
Okay.
Because the guy we had been our chosen leader for so long got ousted, and then suddenly there's this new Russian informant that's fucking gold, and it doesn't smell right. You know, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Or the island of Britain, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But if there was a something rotten in Bath or something, if there was a phrase that, like that, then I would have said that. But Denmark was as close as I could get to an apropos. Give me something Britain.
William, why don't you just use Bath, some rotten Bath? No, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I've got to use Denmark.
Sorry. Maybe go geographically closer. What, Liverpool would be closer?
Oh, Liverpool would be good.
Isn't that on the western side of
– Yes.
What about Manchester? Manchester on the western side?
I don't know where it is.
You've been.
I don't give a shit about that city. What? No, oh, I'm not joking. I'm joking. Where? Manchester?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been to Manchester.
Oh, really?
No. I've been to Liverpool, but not Manchester. We went to Wales, Cardiff, but not Manchester.
Perfect.
We
might have been to Cardiff by the Sea out here in California.
There you go. Perfect.
Our version of that.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. It is. I'm sure if people in Cardiff totally came same. Here, they'd be like, reminds me of home. This is beautiful. All the sunshine. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so any of our English listeners, if there is a colloquialism that is more apropos and fitting – please let us know. Hit me up on Twitter or John at Matt Nost at The Roka Says.
Yeah.
Or at Top 10 Show.
There you go.
Send us a tweet. Join us on Facebook.com/groups/ The Top 10 Show with the number 10.
Nice play.
Join the discussion over there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, not a problem. I would love to know it. So, yeah, so it's this cat and mouse of who did what and what, you know, what side is right, what side is wrong. The only thing you can, I guess, rely on at this point is we think Gary Oldman is a good guy.
Yeah.
He's being brought in from the outside because he's out of the family now.
Right.
And he got sacked because of, you know, in essence, this new mole.
Yeah.
That's high inside the circus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is. I thoroughly love it.
There's a nomination for casting.
Yeah, that's a fair. Yeah, absolutely.
You get all those excellent actors. You get young Cumberbatch and Tom Hardy next to obviously Gary Oldman.
Colin Firth.
Yeah. Toby Jones.
Yeah, Toby Jones.
The guy that was that played Caesar on Rome.
Oh, Kieran Hines?
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the
right.
The upper tier.
Yeah.
Another dude I don't know his name.
Yeah.
I apologize. Mark Strong.
Strong is in this thing. That's right.
Is there anybody else?
Yeah,
that's not bad. I pulled quite a few.
That's a lot.
I pulled quite a few.
Certainly, that's enough to win a best ensemble, I would think.
I would. Yeah. And look, in the Schmodown, I could answer that question.
You could.
As per the Schmodown conversation off. Look, it comes down to sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Name five actors.
Yeah. Who is the fifth lead? who is fifth on the call sheet for Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy?
Right.
Actually, my version would be who's fifth on the call sheet for 48 meters down two.
Yeah, right.
Fuck off. I don't know. And if you do, I feel bad that you wasted your money.
You know what's crazy? The two actresses from the sequel, they turned down coming on to Collider Live. Like, what are you talking about here? What are we talking about here? The sequel to a shark movie is going to make 5 million tops. And you're going to turn down coming on Collider Live to promote it?
What's wrong with you? Did they bring back anybody of note?
I think Matthew Modine comes back.
Okay, so that's
– I think.
And it's new leads?
Yeah, it's new leads.
So they're not getting paid shit. Modine's making the largest salary by far.
Probably.
And the budget on this was 15 to 20 million. And so long as they make 50 to 60 million in U.S. box office, they've got themselves a hit.
I guess so.
Well, because Shark Movie translates internationally. Hopefully Crawl does. Yeah. I'd like to see that movie. I'd like to see somehow a sequel to that.
Sistine Rose Stallone, so Stallone's daughter, and Corinne Fox.
Sistine? Jamie
Fox's daughter, yeah. Jamie Fox's daughter as well. So they both turned down coming on to Collider Live.
Yeah, your parents' coattails only extend so far.
I mean, I just feel like it's ridiculous.
It is.
It's called 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
If Ron Perlman come in here and give up his time.
Yeah. Ron Perlman can come. Shit.
Well, it's just a dude. That dude has been working for a long time. We've all agreed since the ridiculously hokey Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
This guy is excellent.
Yeah.
Even with this retarded show being on TV, he is so good, as is she. They're both much better than this material. And that show was still – for the 80s, that was a good show.
Yeah, it was.
Now, probably would – you know, they'd have to update it entirely.
A lot of changes.
Well, just the stories. Too formulaic and too whatever.
Yeah. They tried on the CW. They had Kristen Crook who played – it was in Smallville. She tried to play the thing. It was not good. All right. So there you go. Where are we at now?
We're at your three. So Tinker Tailor, go see it.
Go see it. Definitely. Three is Serpico, which was the punt from earlier.
Okay.
Yeah. Love that movie, man. I saw it as a younger kid, like in my maybe 12, 13 years old. And I remember just being shocked by that ending. The shot, him getting shot in that way and – like betrayed by his own – like it was just a weird – for me as a kid who grew up, you know, like the morality of doing the right thing. You know, watching 70s movies like can break you from all of that where you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You watch people turn on each other. You watch people lie to each other, cheat on each other, you know, do all – institutions being destroyed from the inside out, exposing the corruption of all of it. So like that was on – that's what was on TV when you're growing up in the 80s. And so to me, seeing Serpico, I think I remember seeing it on ABC like an afternoon, Saturday afternoon or something like that.
Oh, really?
When they used to show them, right? Saturday afternoon movies or Sunday afternoon movies. And I remember watching that, or maybe it was on CBS, but I just remember watching it and I remember that ending and I'm like, holy fuck. So it has stayed with me ever since. And I go back and watch it every once in a while because Pacino is so good as Serpico.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's right around the Godfather time, Dog Day Afternoon time. So he's still rolling in what he's doing and he's on point. And there's not that extra hoo-ah or any of that stuff. He's really dialed into what he's doing and exposed – that's a true story – exposing
it is.
The corruption within the police department in New York in the 70s.
The problem was so uniquely monumental that they've made numerous movies about a corrupt police force in a city.
Right.
Now, granted, it's one of the world's largest cities and it's most famous. But at the same time, there's this. There's Prince of the City.
Prince of the City's great.
American Gangsters deals with the issue of corrupt cops.
Yep.
Like there's been numerous others. What was the just a simple fucking police force, and it took a few solid citizens to stand up. You know, it's a reaction to all the whitewash kind of entertainment from the 50s and 60s. And as I think it was Wayne that pointed out, once the ratings changed,
you
do the harder age, then the 70s started basically doing the kind of the yellow journalism of other decades, just doing it cinematically. Like here's the underbelly of this society that we think is so majestic and glorious.
Yeah.
It still is.
Sure.
But you know, unfortunately, you don't make an omelet like this without cracking a shitload of eggs.
Yeah, that's my problem with people sometimes who get upset about like honest criticism of anything, right? Nothing is perfect.
Nothing.
Not even this country is not perfect. So – just because we point out things that needs to be worked on within the country, it does not mean the country still isn't great or good or is capable of doing fantastic things. I always go, you got issues with every member of your fucking family. You still love your fucking family. What's the difference? we can recognize slavery and still – and all the terrible things it might have done in the past and still think this country is a beacon of hope and promise and possibility. So that's what frustrates me. People want to like, no, don't talk about that. Don't touch that. Don't train. And it's like, no, it's better to accept something in its whole because that's real life.
Yeah.
You know? There's gray everywhere.
Exactly. Understanding
every person.
The faults of the imperfect world around you.
Yeah. And that's how you grow, for God's sakes.
Well, hopefully you strive as a society to get better.
Yeah.
To, you know, basically prosper as a whole as opposed to fighting, infighting for scraps.
Yeah.
Agree? Yeah. We can get into a discussion as to what fuels that. And that is not for a movie
show. That's not a movie show, right?
I just started thinking. I was like, the next sentence coming to my mouth, it's like, this is a half-hour discussion.
Yeah, at least.
I was having it a buddy of mine. He was on another podcast. He was on Rogan's podcast like last week or something. And he brought up and they had a discussion, a talking point about reparations and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he was getting slammed online. And he was like – he pulled me aside. And he's like – you could tell he just wanted to talk to somebody. Yeah. So we talked for 10, 15 minutes. And I just understood his viewpoint. He's like, yeah, that makes – I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's no perfect way to say it to appease 100% of the people.
No.
But what you're saying makes all the sense to me. If you're gonna do this, then do it the most prosperous way that benefits the mass, the most people you possibly can, and actually try and lift the community up as opposed to individually, you know, rewarding.
Yeah,
just collectivizing it, trying to achieve larger long-term goals as opposed to short-term gains.
Yeah.
I was like, that makes a lot of sense to me. Figuring out how you do that—that's another question.
It's a separate ballgame.
But yeah, but that vision makes more sense as opposed to the short-sighted vision.
Right.
But it's. Doesn't matter how much I agree with him. There's still people out there saying you're wrong.
Yeah, of course.
And they've thought out their answer and some people are just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. That's why I can never imagine being president.
Oh, you can't win no matter what you
do. Doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
Even if you do something like there's a law now. You got to hug your babies. And people – somebody's going to be like, no, I will not coddle – my child needs to learn.
The government doesn't tell me when to hug my babies.
That the world is a harsh place. So that baby's going to wake up – you know, grow up with no love for me. Just strict rules.
But give me my Medicare paycheck. What? Give me my disability. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, there's always hypocrites within the system.
Of course. All right. Anyway, what's your number two, man?
Number two is a punt from earlier, which is Donnie Brasco.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's fair. Totally fair.
Just – you know, years long sting into a big wing of organized crime within New York and just seeing someone get sucked into the world and understanding why they kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of their immediate family and the people that they work with. It's just heartbreaking when he knows he's got to, you know, he's got to turn left in.
Yeah.
And when left knows at the end.
Don't tell him nothing. Don't give him nothing.
Well, it's when he's at his place and he gets the call and he starts taking off his jewelry.
Yeah.
And leaves that little drawer out so she sees the wad of cash and all that stuff.
Because
he knows, I'm not coming back.
Right.
This is – I brought a rat into our home. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God. To see Pacino be the fall guy.
Yeah.
It's just
– it's a great performance, man.
It is. Him and Depp and Madsen. It's like one of Madsen's best outside of anything Tarantino does.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Somebody,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And Heche too, right? Heche plays his
wife.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was in City Slickers plays one of the other mobsters.
City Slickers.
He was in City Slickers, is one of Billy Crystal's buddies that goes on. It's not Daniel Stern.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Bruno Kirby.
Yeah, Bruno Kirby.
The late, great Bruno Kirby.
He plays one of the mobsters. Yeah. I can't remember the other dude's name for the life of me, but he was in a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, I think it's James Ree. Anyway, yeah, you're right. I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
But then like on the FBI side, you got Giamatti.
Yeah.
He's a random.
Right.
When they do the forget about it scene, it's him and Tim Blake Nelson.
Yep.
Pardon me, Timothy Blake Nelson is I know him as. As reference to previous shows.
Good callback.
See, I give the man his damned respect. But yeah, let's forget about it. They're doing the forget about it. Yeah. Hey, just hamming it up because they want to be part of that life too. There's It's exotic.
Yeah.
It's different. It's why, you know, we all – not we all, but you and I and a lot of people I know enjoy these types of movies or these books or are entranced by this life. It's something I'll never do.
Yeah.
So I'm captivated by the mystery of it.
Yeah.
Even if I know it's wrong. Just like Tales of War. I'm never going to go to war. Right, I'm 40 right. now. Unless we go into World War III and it's full on World War III,
yeah.
I'm never going to have to fight. And if it comes to that, guys, let's hope it doesn't. I'm in good shape. It's still
General Nost.
Yeah,
I like it.
General. Wow, I escalated quickly. Why this is not? A post-apocalyptic then, because why? There's it's very little competition, is what you're saying.
It's who's in charge?
I just leaped the general. Oh, man.
What do you say, General Nost?
Well, for the future generations that are listening to this in the wasteland, come find me. I will remember this. My latitude is 32 degrees north by – find me. Oh, you think we're still using Morse? Wow.
Yeah. I think so.
Just a mass – so you think it's a nuclear cataclysmic event and the EMP just took out all computers.
Yes, of course.
Go backwards. Well, of course for you, but it also could be monkeys and apes rising up. It could be AI, artificial intelligence.
All of it possible.
It could be a lot of things for you.
Oh, those idiot scientists. Yeah, I don't want to get into it.
I'd be more concerned with the disease personally. But
well, fair. That's fair. Yeah, true. Very true, actually. Yeah, that was your number two?
Yeah. You know, it's Depp going toe for toe with Pacino, and Pacino,
so good.
You know, back at him. Hmm. Usually you follow like the head of a family.
Yeah.
And you're following like a lowly kind of individual.
I have it lower because – he questions what he's doing, and he almost doesn't turn lefty in. He's very close to trying to find his way out of it.
Well, he does.
But then he doesn't.
Half-heartedly knowing that it's never going to happen.
Right.
Like literally, you ever think about that boat sometimes? You're selling him on a dream. You're selling both yourselves on a dream that you know is never going to happen.
Right.
So just the longing in his eyes of, you ever think about getting out here, you know?
Yeah.
And just, you do. You want left to get out. I could care less
about – of course.
Sunny red and sunny black and sunny this. I don't care about any of the rest of you, but left. I mean, cancer, the prick. Huh?
Right.
You know, what are the odds?
What are the odds?
And watching him cook and his wife is so fearful. Like you can tell that there's some domestic abuse more than likely in the history there. Yeah. But they still love each other in this weird.
Yeah, weird, know, crazy world.
It is. I've always enjoyed that movie. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. My number two then is Reservoir Dogs.
Okay, so that's my one.
Okay,
then cool. I know what your number one is then.
Yeah.
It's just a taut sting guy going in. I love the setup for Roth of, you have to know this story backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
And it really sells the idea of this has to be a life lived before you go into this room.
Right.
You need to be firmly entrenched in who this guy's identity is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You don't often see that. You just see them get thrust into the world as opposed to the preparation to actually mentally focus in and, hey, I'm going to be a criminal.
Yeah.
And I need to be a fucking criminal. But as, you know, we brought up in other shows, you know, he has a telltale sign earlier that he rats out Buscemi, and there's all these little character cues within that scene about who those individuals are further on down the line.
And
it's just another well-casted movie. You got an ensemble, excellent actors top to bottom. How you get like a Keitel and a Tim Roth and Michael Madsen and early Buscemi and Tarantino himself.
Even Chris Penn.
Chris Penn.
Eddie Bunker. So many good actors all through it. Lawrence Tierney plays the head of them, the big dude. No one's gone. I can't. Somebody else on somebody other job is you're Mr. Pink. The thing about this is that it's such a brilliantly designed undercover sting type film, because he, like you said, he has to memorize them all along. But more than that, he has to hold his own. He has to, incur the sympathy or the empathy of one of the dudes. And it happens to be the oldest of them, right? Harvey Keitel, who's probably just doing this job one more time, maybe two more times. He's getting out. Right, he likes the camaraderie of the boys, but he's also a little long in the tooth.
Sure.
And he still thinks he's a badass. Like, I don't know who would win between him and Michael Madsen for real, but Michael Madsen is crazy. So if you're not talking weapons, I don't know who wins. Right, if they're just gonna have it out,
you won't assume it's Keitel just because he has that KG veteran.
You
aspect.
Want to assume that, but it could
Madsen
be.
Does seem unhinged.
Yeah, and so what would happen in that situation? You're gonna bark all day, little dog. You're gonna bite. So there's that. But Tim Roth, what he does as you're watching them, and what's so great about the film when you watch it the first time is Tarantino, is this guy's legitimately dying And he's legitimately freaking out. He's legitimately
Tim Roth?
Yeah, Tim Roth. He's legitimately angry about it. He's legitimately not sure what to do. Huh. And then when you see the flashback of how it happens, it's so random. It's a woman in a car who's just fearing for her life. And he does kill her. He legitimately kills her, which is a terrible burden to carry. And then he has to play this character. And then eventually as the walls are closing in, he admits it. And when he admits it, he has to hold on to it until the cops get what they need, and then and only then does he admit it, and then it's nuts all the way to the end from that point on. It's great.
Just when Keitel realizes that he's been standing up for the rat.
Yeah.
But Roth dying, it should be ham over the top actor. That, but somehow it's utterly believable.
It is. I think the kicking of the feet, all of that, which is him regressing to almost being like a child or a baby, makes it believable. And I think Keitel's like just utter just like, wouldn't you fucking know it? Wouldn't you fucking know it? Just the – I make stupid decisions all the time in my life. Yeah. And here I am in this moment and I back the wrong horse and I'm totally fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to take the fall for all of this.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is dead.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. Yeah. So then – number one is Departed for me, which is your number what?
Four.
This is just so good. And I watched it again recently. Man, the acting in this film is so good. DiCaprio – I know people like loving DiCaprio Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is my favorite performance of his. Not Revenant, not anything else.
Oh, wow. Really?
This is my favorite performance of DiCaprio. I love him in this. Love how he's on edge. I love how he's you're just walking the line the whole time where it can slide into melodrama or cheesiness. He makes it work for me. And when he seduces, in essence, seduces
Vera Farmiga.
Vera Farmiga, a ready to be seduced Vera Farmiga because she's in that terrible relationship with Matt Damon.
And
that scene is so sexy when he shows up and the rain and Comfortably Numb playing underneath and her saying, like, your vulnerability is freaking me out right now. It's his truth, right, in that moment. And DiCaprio plays it so well. He's not overdoing it. He's not laying it on thick. It's just right there. And so I love him in the movie from top to bottom. There's a determination, an anger, a frustration through the whole thing. And you feel for this kid because he has an anger problem and he can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is how he's channeled it. He hates his family for being criminals. And he wants to go after them and turn them in and get them all put – and it's just madness. And so I love it to pieces for that. And of course, you know, Nicholson chews up scenery and whatever. But like for me, it's DiCaprio, the reason to watch this thing.
Yeah. For me, I'm surprised it made it all the way up that high on my list.
Mm.
But it's so well done. It's just at this point, Scorsese's canon is so big. I consider it a Scorsese film. And now it's in the mix of, and when I go back to watch Scorsese's, I'm in that type of mood. Mm-hmm. I choose from one to four or five others. I'll take Wolf of Wall Street over Departed.
Sure, Wolf is great. I like Wolf. There's no cheesy, you know. There's no Baldwin stupidly punching out the guy. There's no thing with Jack Nicholson going overboard with the cocaine and the rats.
Yeah, and I also think it's the performance to me is more tour de force.
Yeah,
that and Once Upon a Time, man. Just
you
blown away.
Him in that. Okay.
Blown away by him. In
all right.
Yeah. So Departed, that is number four on my list.
We've talked about it a million times.
A lot of these at the top. So at least we got in some we've never spoken of, like White Heat.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It's never come up before.
Definitely.
And I don't think The Informant or The Infiltrator.
Infiltrator. Have. Yeah. All right. Let's put this thing together, Matt. You want to write or do you want me to write?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I want you to write.
All right. So Reservoir Dogs. Since that's one, two.
Seems like logical.
And then I don't – you got Brasco way lower, so then Departed would be two.
Okay.
Now can we beat anything – where do you have the Brasco? Eight?
I have Brasco at eight, yeah. I have Serpico at three.
Okay. I got that at five. 3-5 wins.
Okay.
So then I would say Brasco after that.
Okay. Next, I have American Hustle, but you don't have that on your list.
What number is that for you?
Four.
Okay, I got Tinker Tailor at three.
Okay.
So I'll take.
Do we have anything else? No, we don't. Not until we get to the bottom, right? Oh no,
no
we're done.
We don't have
done with that comment. Okay, okay.
So Tinker Tailor, then American Hustle.
Okay.
What do you got next?
White Heat at 5.
All right. White Heat makes it. What do you got next?
Kindergarten Cop at 6.
All right. I got Black Mass at 6. I would say Kindergarten Cop is closer.
Okay.
Because he gets away until the very end.
Right, right. So you put Black Mass at 9?
That's it. Yeah, 9.
Okay.
All right. What do you got left?
21 Jump Street at 7.
And we don't have anything else? American Made or The Firm? You didn't have either of those?
Oh, American Made's 10. So make that 10.
Okay.
That was my 10.
All right, good.
Miss Congeniality we don't have, or 21 Jump Street we don't have in common. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And I got 3 more that we don't have in common.
Cool. All right. Let's do this thing.
You got more of your list on here. Oh, you're
here
welcome.
Here we go.
Magnanimity on my part.
I don't.
You're welcome. You know, feather in your cap. You should sleep well tonight.
I don't construct a list in an attempt to put more of my stuff on. It just happens to work that way.
You do.
Every once in a while.
You do.
Please. I've seen you rank
once
on purpose.
Once we're on video, we'll have actual people that work in the field.
Oh, I love it.
Can
to
decipher,
disseminate.
Yeah. When someone is maybe not perhaps telling – maybe they're telling their truth
yeah.
and not the truth.
It's
so,
that goes both ways, Chico.
I'm just saying. Listen, I imagine I'm going to win that bet more often than not.
Well, sometimes you betray yourself when you say things like, "Oh, I knew this was going to be on your list." So you're already guessing in your mind where you think it's going to land.
Well,
on
it's like last week.
I know you're
going to make a choice between Raiders and Crusade.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm going to choose both, and you're going to choose Raiders. So Raiders is going to make it higher. I just know that going in, but
right.
I'm going to honor how I feel.
Okay,
I don't.
Good.
Doesn't bother me.
You're not influenced by it.
I come in liking my list.
Okay.
And I'll be damned where anybody else's placement affects
right.
how I view my list.
That's fair.
That's the God's honest truth.
All right.
If it happens to work out in other people's favors in the end, so be it.
So be it.
So be it. I'm going to be honest with the truth. And not just my truth. There we go.
Very humble. Very humble.
Thank you. Matt right. Knows 2024.
Vote for him. General knows. All right.
Fuck the apocalypse in the next 5 years?
I think the way it feels like it's going.
Well, I love that we still have this huge political system even though we've been decimated and I've risen to the rank of general in 5 years and can run for president. We can still communicate.
People respect rank, man. You got to keep it in the mix.
I'm pretty sure if I'm a general, there is no central government.
That's fair. All right. The top 10 sting operation movies. Yeah. At number 10.
American Made.
At number 9.
Black Mass.
At number 8.
Kindergarten Cop.
At number 7.
White Heat.
At number 6.
American Hustle.
At number 5.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
At number 4.
Donnie Brasco.
At number 3.
Serpico.
And our number 2.
The Departed.
And our number 1 sting operation movie is
Reservoir Dogs.
There you go. Good stuff. Quentin Tarantino. Seems topical to put him number 1. Got a film out right now.
Unintended but topical.
Sure.
Coincidental.
It works.
It was not by design. Trust us.
Not at all. All right. Well, there you go. That's our show for this week. Matt, what do we want to tell them? Anything?
You know, if you are a Patreon member, patreon.com/ the top 10 with the number 10, there is that video that we put up on Friday.
Yes, yes.
Of our show with Ryan Satin. You can find that on Patreon. It's at the $20 and up level. So if you just hearing about it now, you know, catching back up with the show, go join and watch it over there. We hopefully we're trying to do that at least once a month.
Yeah.
So we'll have more coming down the pipeline. And our thanks to everybody that joins us over there at Facebook or on Twitter or everything else. And that's it for me this week.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah. And don't forget about the Topic Thunders that come out for the patrons. And follow Matt at Madnos. Follow me at The Roka Says. And thanks to everybody. We'll talk to you next week on the Top 10.
Adios.